Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover with John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show as we flip into an early, if you can believe it, Thursday morning already. 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We are asking you to download the Odyssey.com app. We know you're not in the car as much as what you used to be, but you want to listen to the radio station and the show. How do I do it? Best way is through the Odyssey.com app. Put that on your device today, right? The smartphone, Alexa speakers, tablet, Walkman, Laserdisc, Coleco, Intellivision, whatever your device is, just download it onto something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us there. As always, the best way to be a part of the show, it's through our personal Twitter handles at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That's your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. On the other side of the glass, producing the show, as always, Jarvis in the building at JarvisD90. Your nightly look, daily look, early morning look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. I don't know what it is about the Tennessee Titans, man, but they love them some former Falcons, man. As they pick up Brian Hill and sign him to a deal today. Again, I don't know. Did Mike Vrabel ever work for the Falcons and I missed something or what? Because, man, they love them some former Atlanta Falcons on the Titans. So Brian Hill will be in Tennessee. Obviously, you know, he ain't starting. Ain't got to worry about that, so he ain't competing for the starting job. But I'll say this. I mean, you know, Brian Hill's meh. You know, I mean, he's not a bad player. He's nothing special. You know, he had some nice games here and there. You know when they used to have that, like, they'd talk about guys who just, like, got garbage points and stuff like that in the NBA? Doesn't it feel like a lot of times that Brian Hill was, like, a garbage yards kind of guy? In an NFL game, like, he'd get yards after games were over or whatever. But, again, I don't know. I'm not surprised the Falcons didn't bring him back. It was what it was here in his time in Atlanta. I think they gave him some opportunities to try to shine. He had a few good moments here and there, but nothing that ever stood out consistently to be able to, you know, get you that excited about. But it is kind of funny how the Titans just – they continue to find a way to grab and bring in more former Atlanta Falcons. So good for Brian Hill. At least he's got a job and he'll make some money in the NFL. How about this stat about Younghoe Koo? Koo became only the sixth player in league history to make 37-plus field goals on at least a 94% or better accuracy. So 94% or better accuracy with at least 37 makes. That's a pretty good number. Now, you know me, since I'm the a-hole, my spin on that is I don't need my kicker making 37 field goals. If you want to tell me that my kicker leads the league and kicked the most extra points in league history, then I'd feel much better about that stat. And that's not a knock against Koo. It's the role that I'd rather have him play. I'd much rather have a guy who leads the league in extra points than leads the league in field goals. If my kicker never leads the league in scoring, because all he does is kick extra points and not enough field goals, I'm perfectly fine with that. You know what I mean? I'm perfectly fine. It's tough to win 15-10 in the NFL every week. I can tell you that. I don't know many things, and I ain't saying I'm the brightest guy or the sharpest knife in the drawer, but it's tough to win 15-10 in the NFL every week. So, Ku had a great year. Let's hope this offense becomes more of a touchdown machine under Arthur Smith than so often feeling like we had to rely on and set ourselves up for a field goal. But no doubt about it, Ku had a Pro Bowl season, deserves all the accolades that he got for all of it. So, congratulations to him. And that's a fun little stat. Look, I mean, no doubt about it, he was as accurate as could be for this team. All right, let's get to some audio. The Falcons had a couple of positional coaches speak today to the media. Let's start with Dwayne Ledford. He is the offensive line coach for the Atlanta Falcons. Here's him talking about how the five best will play on the offensive line.
Having competition, I think that's going to bring out the best in both players. You know, because, you know, I, for us, you know, we want to build a great competition among all the positions and guys playing at their best. And from whatever shakes up with the best five, that's going to be the best five, get those guys on the football field now.
If I said that the only guarantees I feel like right now on the offensive line are left tackle and right guard.
That's fair. Because, in my mind, yeah, that's kind of where I am.
Because Jalen Mayfield is by position a right tackle. That's what he played at Michigan. And I'm not telling you that. And how do I say this nicely? The guy that's been starting last couple of years there is, he certainly doesn't grade out anything more than average and sometimes below average.
Bad. Huh? Sometimes bad.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes junk. Yeah. Yeah. His, you know, If your grades are like elite or very good or above average, sometimes his grade is junk. But there's no reason to think that he has to be the starter at right tackle. If he gets beat out in competition, then he gets beat out. Now, speaking of a couple of offensive linemen, here's Dwayne Ledford talking about two new additions that were drafted in Jalen Mayfield and Drew Dahlman.
When I'm watching Drew or Jalen, it's that athleticism that first stands out for me. It's that type of play style that they have, that demeanor they play with. That's what really sticks out first. Then, you know, you get to see that, do they finish on film? Are they guys that are really valuing the things that you're wanting to build that room around?
Well, look, Mayfield was a guy that, I mean, there's a reason why these guys were third and fourth round picks, right? Mayfield's a guy who doesn't have a big body of work. He was a right tackle for Michigan. Doesn't have a lot of body of work, especially last year. Only played in, two games before he got injured. They weren't even 100% sure if he was going to play this past season. But, you know, the body of work is one of the concerns that they have with him. So that's one thing. My only thing about Drew Dahlman is he was a very good player at Stanford. Right, he's an all-conference player at Stanford. But, again, he's another undersized center. I don't care how tall he is, I get that, but he's 6'3", 295. And that's what concerns me is he's got to get bigger in the dumper. And people are like, well, you know, training table and all this. And okay, well, then say that about Matt Hennessy, because Matt Hennessy was picked 36 spots higher. And somebody tried to tell me on Twitter about, oh, well, the pedigrees of those guys are totally different, you know, from the standpoint of, Dahlman was a really good offensive lineman at a school like Stanford, which is a high education. I'm like, so Temple's not a good educational school? Oh, and Hennessy was an all-conference player for Temple. I had Jeff Collins on the day that the day after he was drafted. Me and Hugh Douglas talked to Coach Collins about it. Nothing but glowing things. And again, Hennessy was picked 36 spots higher than Dahlman. So, look, no doubt there needs to be competition between those two. It's just that my only knock on Dahlman is he profiles a lot of the same way that Matt Hennessy does. I don't care about his hand size and all that kind of stuff. His weaknesses are the same as Hennessy's weaknesses. Here is Dwayne Ledford talking about what Jake Matthews brings to the table.
look at Jake Matthews, for instance, that's played a lot of football at a very high level. And he is somebody that obviously is going to be able to provide a lot of valuable input and insight to that room.
Are we going to look back? Let me put it to you like this. Since Arthur took over the team, who are the best left tackles in Falcons history? Since Arthur took over. So, not looking at, was Chris Hinton a left tackle or right tackle? I'm trying to remember what Chris Hinton was. Was Hinton left tackle or right tackle? Obviously, Bob Whitfield, but that predates because that's, you know, Whitfield was here in the mid late 90s with Dan and all that. Let's just talk about since kind of Arthur took over the team. Let's say since 2001, who are the best left tackles that this team has had? Where does Jake rank among those? I mean, is he the best left tackle?
That's a man. Wow. If you got to think this hard, that goes to show you like the type of guys they had here, man.
The only two high draft picks for left tackle that they made were Sam Baker and Jake Matthews, right? That's been the only two real, you know,
first round picks, yeah.
Right. They traded back up in the first round in Matt's draft to bring Sam Baker in, and then Jake, who was, what was Jake, sixth overall in the draft.
Khalil Mack went fifth, by the way.
Yeah, and I had his coach on from Buffalo, and I was begging to trade up one spot to go get that guy. Man. So who's the best left tackle since 2001?
Super Bowl trophy here. I go ahead and answer. I'll say it.
Yeah. I mean,
forget it. Yeah. Super Bowl be here. Yeah. Be a trophy here.
Have an elite level defensive player, but anyway,
yeah.
But who is Jake the best left tackle since 2001?
Man, like based off of
See, I'll say this about Jake Matthews. Man. Jake Matthews is not nearly as bad of a player as people want to make him out to be at times. Jake Matthews is
a solid player.
Yeah, Jake Matthews is somewhere between say 12 and 15 as far as left tackles go in the NFL. And that's where he is. Now, obviously at six, you'd love him to be, you know, Jonathan Ogden or something. You know what I mean? You'd love him to be an elite left tackle. He's not been elite, but he's very good. Is he Bakhtiari or one of those guys? No. But I don't think Jake Matthews is part of your offensive line problem.
No. He's not the main problem. No, not at all.
So, but anyway, who knows? I mean, I'll be curious to see when the Falcons decide to invest a draft pick into left tackle to groom that next guy. All right, let's hear from John Hoke, who is the cornerbacks coach for the Falcons. Here's him talking about Daron Harmon, Eric Harris, how they're going to help out this young secondary.
They'll be very important. You know, they've both played a lot of football. They've been in this league a while. They're both over 30. Which gives them experience. They understand what it's like to be a pro, how to handle yourself like a pro, and conduct your business on and off the field like a pro. So they've been a big piece of even what we're doing now as far as, you know, just their approach to things.
Well, obviously it's still a very young secondary, and you've added a couple pieces into that, and then losing a guy like Ricardo Allen, you know, taking a guy like Ricardo Allen off the team. Even Keanu O'Neill at this point would obviously be a veteran because you're talking about a, you know, guy going into his sixth year or so. But, you know, this is a back end of a secondary that's got a lot of young pieces without that kind of real veteran presence. Again, Eric Harris is a guy who I look at and say, he started in the NFL, but he's not necessarily a starting safety in the NFL. But if he can provide some leadership back there, fine. I'm all good for that as well. Here's John Hoke. Let's do the one on Richie Grant, why he's excited to coach Richie Grant. Maybe. Hopefully.
he jumps off the tape. I mean, here's a guy that had 10 interceptions, 5 forced fumbles that sometimes get lost. That's a big thing. To me, just because I was with a guy previously who I coached who had a ton of forced fumbles, but it was just a mindset. And that's kind of Richie's mindset is to take the ball away.
Yeah, look, I think Richie Grant's a football player. That's what I like about Richie Grant. He's a guy that's got ball skills. He's a guy that can come up and thump you, but he's a football player. And that's what I like. He feels like one of those NFL safeties. And I heard people say like Honey Badger and things like that. He's way more physical than Honey Badger. I heard Nick talking about on the weekend about some of the comparisons where people said he's way more physical than Honey Badger. Honey Badger was a great ball skill guy. Richie Grant's much more. Richie Grant has ball skills, but he's much more physical. He can come up and thump you if he needs to. I think he's 6'1", 200 is what Grant is at safety out there. So, all right, when we get back, it'll be time for That's Life. Did you see Will Smith, the actor, not the relief pitcher, show off his dad bod on his Instagram? We'll talk about that next. Plus our top 10. Chuck, we're hanging out in the Key Studios. Sports Radio 910 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you on the John Chuckery Show, 12:23 on an early Thursday morning. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey.com app is how you catch us on the go. Social media is at 92.9 The Game. At JMCH316, at JarvisD90. We will get to our top 10 here in just a minute or two. Jarvis, did you see the picture of Will Smith that's trending online with his dad bod, talking about how he's been making trips to the pantry during the pandemic and this, that, and the other? By the way, he has 53 million Instagram followers. Did you see? I saw that number. Because he posted a video on Instagram, and it's just basically him just in a pair of, like, boxer shorts, and he's got his gut sticking out, and he's got the dad bod going, you know? I don't know. Will Smith's got to be in his 40s by now, I think. I think he's in his 40s by now.
Oh, he probably older than that.
Oh. Let's see. Will Smith. How old is Will Smith? Oh, wow, he's 52 years old.
Oh, yeah, man.
Wow.
Will Smith is old.
I didn't think he was older than me, though.
Jada, doggone, she's in her 50s.
I didn't think he was older than me, though. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Will Smith up there.
But it was interesting. Now, look. You know how you can get in shape when you're Will Smith? You got lots of money and you got lots of money, access to trainers, access to food, drugs, everything else.
And doctors.
Yeah, doctors and drugs. So you got access to all of it. So, because he said, oh, I'm going to get in the best shape of my life. Yeah, that's what those actors do. By the way, you think those Hollywood actors and actresses get in that kind of great shape just naturally and
they just go to the gym on their own and just work out? Nah.
Think
doesn't work like that, Jack.
Hugh Jackman went from looking like some scrawny guy to Wolverine?
Nah, man. Okay. Come on, man.
All right. Anyway.
They don't test for HGH in movies last time I checked.
No. And nobody gets mad about it either.
Nope.
I'm mad about it. But anyway. Go look at the picture of Will Smith. But again, it doesn't make me feel better about body or anything because I know he's got the resources to be able to fix it anytime he wants. That's the advantage of being a gazillionaire in Hollywood is you got all the ways to be able to fix all of it. But anyway, so now we're getting, by the way, Jarvis, more details about this Bill Gates divorce. Did you see that on the day that they made that announcement, he transferred $1.8 billion worth of stock over to her? He sent her $1.8, which is the woman is going to be his ex-wife, $1.8 billion in stock that he gave to her.
Good Lord,
yeah.
Man.
Now, that's your initial shut-up money.
I wonder what that transaction would look like.
Oh.
Hey, bank.
Yeah. Hey, E-Trade.
E-Trade.
Let me go on E-Trade here.
I want to transfer $1.8 billion over to you-know-who. She tripping again. How much, Mr. Gates? $1.8 billion. Yeah. $1.8.
But Mr. Gates, that's only going to leave you with about $180 billion left.
Well, you know, it's a little hush money, man. Yeah. You know how I messed up this time. So.
And somebody, by the way, said about Bezos being the largest settlement, but the report is, though, is that she's going to get a ton because, you know, she's also part of his, charitable foundation and all this kind of stuff or whatever. But
which is worth $50 billion
right,
in itself.
Right, right.
Which is...
Yeah, she's going to clean up. Now, the other story that's coming out is he goes away, like, to the Catskills or the Hamptons or something. He goes away and has, since he's been married, Jarvis, once a year for a week to this beachfront retreat with his old girlfriend. They spend a week together every year at this, like, Hamptons house or something like that.
And she's there, right? The wife comes with him, right?
Nope. This is a pre-arranged deal that Bill Gates' former girlfriend, the girl he was dating before. And I guess the reason that they didn't marry is she was 5 years older than him and was ready to settle down and have a family, and he was not ready yet. And in fact, Bill Gates said when he was ready to pop the question, he called his ex-girlfriend to get her blessing about it. But but once a year, they meet. It's like that seems like old times movie with Alan Alda. You got to be old to remember that movie. But once a year, he and his ex-girlfriend supposedly go and they meet up to talk about business ideas and technology and stuff like that.
And do go through presentations and all that, say Excel spreadsheets and stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure they download a lot of things. But anyway, yeah. I'm sure a
couple of Xboxes laying around.
I'm sure
magic boxes.
I'm sure she's very much invested in his RAM.
Yeah,
I'm sure she's invested in his RAM.
Does he have enough RAM?
I'm sure
for her to download.
I'm sure you know. Listen, but anyway, now quickly here. Today is Kurt Loder's birthday. From MTV, the news guy from Rolling Stone is really where he made his bones. But it made me think because I always remember seeing him on MTV. Tonight's top 10, our top 10 favorite music videos of all time. Jarvis, the floor is yours.
All right, so I got to be really quickly here. I got a lot of videos from like BET Uncut. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. So, yeah, we're going to run through these things really quickly. Here we go. Outkast, Hey Ya.
Yep. That's on my list.
That is one of my.
I love that video. Yeah.
Man, it's an amazing video, amazing song. It's legendary in my eyes. Trick Daddy, I'm a Thug. Love that. And Jay-Z, UGK, Big Pimpin'. That was the video vixen age right there. So yeah, we had to watch those videos when they came out. Oh yeah. Outkast again, Bombs Over Baghdad, one of my favorite songs.
Good video.
Yes. Mm-hmm. 3-6 Mafia, Gotta Stay Fly. Another UGK and Outkast. International Players Anthem, one of my all-time favorites. Bone Crusher, Never Scared, and this is a true classic video. Probably got over millions and millions of views. It's by Cash Money. Back That Ass Up.
Oh yes.
Yeah. So,
I know that video. Yes.
And my top two videos, and the reason why this is in my top two, 50 Cent Wanksta. Is because this when we were introduced to Buffy the Body. And she had some bikini type drawers on. And it had G-Unit written across the backside of it. But all you could see was G-Unit. Think about it. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. She made the end disappear. Just let that settle in. And my top video of all time, Nelly Tip Drill. BET Uncut Classic.
Okay.
Yes.
So, as I'm old school, and I remember when MTV launched, watching that as a kid, I had Hey Ya as well. Nothing But a G Thing.
Oh, nice. Yeah, man. Oh, man. That's a good one.
Yeah,
right
Nothing
there.
But a G Thing.
Good pull.
Virtual Insanity. You're probably not familiar with Jamiroquai. But I love.
I am
guys.
Familiar with Jamiroquai.
Yeah,
I was introduced to them a few years back. They have some good stuff.
I like their music. Virtual Insanity is a real good video. Walk This Way with Aerosmith and Run DMC. Love that video. When Steven Tyler's coming through the wall, and then they start all singing at the end. Always enjoyed that video. I Want Your Sex by George Michael.
Okay.
All right.
It's pretty forward.
Yeah, well.
Straight to the point.
Well, listen, there's a few of those on my list. The Lover and Me by Sheena Easton. Go check her out in that video. Yeah, she really rebounded well in that video. Love Will Never Do Without You. That was the video where Janet had gotten in shape. That's the first time we saw Janet lose the baby fat and everything from Control and all that.
Oh.
And Janet did that black and white video, and I was like,
"Oh, with Mike."
Oh. I was like, no, not with Michael. That's Dangerous or whatever that song was. This is Love Will Never Do Without You.
Okay.
This is from Rhythm Nation album. But remember, she had kind of lost, you know, she had that kind of baby fat and Control album and all that. Oh, yeah, she did that black and white video where you know, she's prancing around. And yeah. I got two from Michael. I remember sitting down and watching Thriller when it came out. That was a world premiere.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Thriller's unbelievable. And Beat It. I love Beat It. I love, they used real-life gang members, by the way, in Beat It. Those are actually like real life LA gang members that they used a lot of that for in Beat It. The only thing that would have made Beat It better is Beat It, if they would have had Eddie Van Halen in the video doing the guitar solo, would have made Beat It even better to all of it. And then finally, my favorite video of all time, and I've discussed this a lot with Harper LaBelle. It's my favorite video of all time, not because it's a good song or good video, but it's my favorite video of all time because it is the most disturbing video of all time to watch, and that is Dancing in the Streets with David Bowie and Mick Jagger. They all but make out, and let me put it this way. I'll bet you after they got done on that set that they had a plane fly in and drop a napalm bomb on that set and just burn the whole thing to the ground out there. It is the most disturbing video, the way that those guys are just pressed up against. If anybody thinks that Mick Jagger and David Bowie didn't have sex, then if you don't believe Bowie's ex-wife that they were caught having sex, go watch Dancing in the Streets and tell me that those guys at some point on set didn't either make out with one another or start having sex with one another. It is. It's the most disturbing video of all time. And by the way, I'll tell you the other one that's up there too. That We Are the World video is disturbing as well. Like, Diana Ross looks like she should be in a wax museum. Stevie Wonder has no idea where he's at in there. They could have put him against a wall, faced him up against a wall, and he just started singing. Bruce Springsteen's way over singing. What's his name? Bob Dylan looks like he hadn't slept in 7 years in that video. It is. It's the most, like, it's the most whacked out. You've heard of Howard Stern's Whack Pack? That was the We Are the World video. That's what We Are the World was. Because, you know, they filmed that, by the way, that We Are the World video. They filmed that at like 3 o'clock in the morning. They did that video after the American Music Awards. Quincy Jones and Harry Belafonte rounded everybody up because they were all at the awards show. And like 3 o'clock in the morning. So imagine how toasted those people were come about and how ripe they smelled. You got Willie Nelson and Cyndi Lauper standing next to each other. How ripe do you think those two were? So, but again, Dancing in the Streets is, it's my favorite video of all time because it is the most disturbing thing to watch of all time. Anyway, when we get back, we'll let you hear from Hawks new tackle, Jalen Mayfield, as, who did you join? Dukes and Bell? Yeah, because they have every interview. When we get back, it's all nice. Chuck Reed, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 910 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.